There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, and it's Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. And text line's open for you at 343-0106, 343-0106. And I'm going to get to our buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, in just a second. But I want to read a couple more of these texts. And, y'all, this is one of these things. There's so many things about this radio station that make me feel fulfilled for what it's worth. And one of them is we can get stories out that may just get lip service. And there's nothing against TV. They only have so long to do things. But just lip service there where I think we have a chance to dive into things definitely more deeply here on the station. And we do. And it started off yesterday on the show talking about two buddies over the weekend that were talking about how tough it is on their families with doing the remote learning for their students in the Mobile County Public School System. And then got a lot of stories from y'all yesterday, and then today talking about it, kind of pivoting off of what Dalton and Dan were talking about this morning, some of the costs, families, you know, an extra $260 a week doing daycare for those children, which, by the way, you put them in some kind of program there, like a program that's keeping the kids during the day. Aren't you doing the same? Didn't we used to call that school, where the children would be together? And then what that means for family incomes, what that means for if they have to leave the children. We have this story of this child, 8 years old, found by themselves. What is this system? What is the situation in Mobile County Public Schools disadvantaging parents and children versus just across the bay in Baldwin County? So read through a few more of these texts, and I want to get Todd Stacey's take on it, too. This texter says, most families are not equipped now to be at home and take care of their children. We have a lot of families that require both mom and dad working, and many single home families now with working parent. Yeah, single family homes. We rely on schools taking care of our children during the day, and children rely on both parents working to get by. Now, in principle, I could get in a principled argument and say it shouldn't be the job of government to educate, but listen, that ship has long since sailed, so this is the way the world works, and I absolutely see it as being a curveball that parents can't hit. Some can't, and others that can are having to work very hard to make this happen. Supermom says, it's my youngest kiddo's senior year, and I'm totally overwhelmed by this whole situation. He is my smartest, but he's also my laziest. Got some of those in the Sullivan line as well. I work, and I'm putting a whole lot of faith in him to do what is expected. I keep an eye twitch. I can imagine, Supermom. Tony says we need to get back to the good old days where mom stayed home or there was a nanny. Life is way too fast and stressful. We all live to work now rather than work to live, and kids suffer. That's the bad part. Tony, I think you're right, but I wonder if that's not one of those ships that have sailed as well. So, and thank you for the text. And we'll keep them coming because we're going to build build a narrative here of how it's affecting folks out there. And see where this goes going forward. All right. With that happy note, I bring on my buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News. We're going to talk some state news. We're going to talk some federal news. But first, we're going to talk some schools, which is state news. Hey, Todd.
How's it going?
It's good. I just read these stories and I realize how very blessed my family is, how I am, you know, in a situation where I can have my wife stay at home. And it's reading these stories, you go, you know, which one is the bigger danger to a family? And I know it varies per family and situation, old people in the home or not, but what's the bigger danger? Having the kids having to stay home and not go to school, and mom and dad make a choice about income or leave a child at home, or the chance that a child could contract coronavirus and bring it home? I mean, you put that on the scales, which one is heavier?
Yeah, and it's something that we're seeing more and more, you know, as we go forward. You know, a lot of school districts, including up here in Montgomery, are starting to open, at least on a partial scale. Prattville, which is a pretty large school system up here, opened yesterday. And, you know, some of them are taking it slower than others, but all across the board, we're beginning to realize just the impact this is having on families. And not only just, you know, there's the home dynamic where, yeah, you know, people are having to make choices about keeping a job or raising their kids, which is an awful choice to have to make.
Yeah.
But also, you know, a lot of people haven't been talking about just the fact that, look, kids haven't been in school for half a year. And yeah, part of that was summer and normal, but you know, how long are we going to go before you know it starts really impacting the instruction of our kids? I remember we talked back in the spring, because most schools and even colleges, you know, I mean, they did a lot of online stuff, but you saw a lot of, okay, well you graduated, right? Mm-hmm. You get promoted to the next grade, which I don't know if there was a better way to do that. But I remember us talking back then, I'm not sure if that's a great idea to just kind of pass students along without, you know, a full, you know, complement of instruction. And the same thing's going on now. I mean, you're seeing a situation where they're going to have basically a couple of months worth of school for 2 years and you know, graduate two grades. Is that really healthy? Is that good? So, yeah, I think there's a lot of implications to all this.
We're doing them a disservice. I've been saying that if we're not making sure that they're learning at the same level, because it's already tough right now. And the workplace is getting, you know, the strength of your back is less and less important, you know, every year that goes on. And you've got to have these skills. And we're not, if you pass them on to the next grade or move things forward just to, so you don't have a bunch up there, you're failing the children if you do that. I'm not saying that's what's happening. I'm going to wait and see on that. But if it ends up like that, you have failed the children.
Well, and that has been a problem. I mean, that the state has said that has been a problem. In fact, you know, they passed this literacy act last year in order to deal with that, to say, okay, we're going to have to make sure students have the reading abilities by third grade. Because that's when, you know, after that, it becomes really hard to lock it in. So we were already having a retention problem, a remediation problem. I wouldn't say problem. I'd say the state has been focusing on that, saying, hey, we really have to be, you know, making sure these kids are retaining, make sure they're, you know, remediated after the summer. So that was already an effort. So imagine just how much more of a challenge that's going to be when things finally get back to normal.
All right. Let's talk about when things get back to normal. What a thing, though. You know, I mean, remember back maybe February, March, people were like, well, it's going to be a tough 3 months, and then things will get back to normal. Then people say, well, by the summertime, you get the sun out there, and things will get back to normal. Well, by the time that you get back into fall and school gets in, things will get back to normal.
It's like Charlie Brown and Lucy with the kicking the football, you know? We keep falling on our butt.
Yep, and so I'm done with trying to prognosticate. Not that I really did in the first place, but when we get out of this, so we have to deal with it day to day. And one of the things here is how much federal help is coming in. I know they're talking today on I think maybe a test vote tomorrow in the Senate for the HEALS Act, the Republican Senate bill. Of course, you have the HEROES Act in the House. And I want to get into the politics of that later on in the hour with you, going into election. Will we have any movement there? But before that, you write in today's email from aldailynews.com that state leaders this week are beginning the process of shifting some of the previously allocated $1.9 billion in Federal CARES Act money, the vast majority which hasn't been spent. We've talked about that, and you talked about yesterday State Finance Director Kelly Butler talked with state lawmakers about reallocating money to provide funding for the state's unemployment compensation fund. Have they figured out that that's okay? Does Treasury give a green light to that?
Yes, and that's, yeah, that's a an approved use of coronavirus CARES Act money. And actually today we got an update. Kelly Butler, who's the finance director, has given the state lawmakers the 14-day notice. They're required in that in the state law, give us 14 days notice if you're going to spend more than $2.5 million. So we just did that today. This is breaking news. So they're going to shift $300 million to the unemployment compensation fund so to shore it up, because it was going to run out maybe within 2 weeks, because just the high rates of people unemployed and needing those services. So that's a big deal. They can do that, but he was required to give the legislature 14 days notice.
Okay, but and I want people to be clear on this. Where this is not the federal, what we had talked about before, the federal additional. This is to shore up Alabama's unemployment compensation.
That's right. This is not the, I guess it was about $100 million or so that they thought maybe that they could get from the disaster relief, that was floated to the Trump administration. And pretty sure we did take advantage of that. I'm not sure if was quite the infusion of cash that we were hoping. But this is basically, we've got $1.9 billion from the federal government in CARES Act funds. The legislature went and allocated all of it, right? It did not necessarily write the checks, and those checks haven't necessarily been cashed. Some of it has, but they allocated it. And so what they're doing now is talking about, okay, well, several months later, maybe there are some different needs. Maybe some of this money can be spent differently or more efficiently. And that's what this is. And they can, the governor has the ability to reprogram that money. She just has to give a heads up. So this is $300 million. What we're told is this is going to come not from one pot of money, but from several different pots. It's just like we were talking about. Nobody knew when we were going to be out of the woods. And when Congress passed this back in March, and then when the state legislature allocated it back in May, I don't think many people expected us to be in the middle of September and going into fall and winter still dealing with this stuff and still dealing with major unemployment costs. So, I think that this is a reflection of that just, continuing story.
It seems like the duration or the timeline would be one of the places, too, that you could affect. Okay, that you can put money in unemployment or these other things, but this end of the year deadline here seems like it's going to force, say this, no, I'll just say it, I'll take my arrows, some wasteful spending of this money, right, to get it in under the wire, where if there was more liberty going forward, that we don't know when this is going to end, so we're going to set another 6 months or whatever on it, you would have better decisions and stewardship of this money by state governments.
Yeah, and I think if Congress could go back to March and do a couple of things different with this law, they probably would. One thing I think would be that deadline. I remember talking to Congressman Byrne and some others that were involved in the CARES Act, said, we really wanted a sense of urgency. We didn't want a blank check to be out there. And I get that, and I think that's important. But I also think that the scope and scale and really the duration of this thing was really unknown back then. So the number one is the date. That December 30th date, you have to spend the money. But number two is some of the rules and the strict rules for how to spend it. If you want to follow the rules, which Alabama really is trying to follow the rules so we're not, having a bill to the federal government later, it's tough to spend this money. And we've been talking about, they can't really spend it on broadband, rural broadband, which everybody agrees we need money for that. So I think if Congress had it to do over, they probably would change it. Now, here's the thing. They could obviously go pass a new law, and they've been arguing about that. But that does not look likely before the election. So the best thing I could hope for is after the election, after some of all the politics works out, that Congress comes into a lame duck session and fixes some of those things. Pulls a lever here and there to maybe give states more flexibility for spending this money.
Right, come back. We're going to talk more about that, because if you checked out your email today from Todd and the crew at Alabama Daily News, you'd see part of this discussion of what's going on or not going on in Washington, and we'll delve into that with Todd Stacey when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, get back to it here on Midday Mobile with our buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News. And I referenced the email. If you hadn't heard us talking about it before, Todd, tell folks what this email I referenced is all about and how people can get signed up.
Well, it's the new wave, you know. I'm an old newspaper guy. I love getting the paper and filing through it. But these days, we do so much on our phones and on our computer. So the Daily News isn't a print edition or anything, but it's an email. So the email serves as our newspaper. And we go down the list of the top five stories, whether it's state politics or national politics, you know, whatever's the big stories, explanation of things that are going on. And, of course, you can click over. But we have headlines from all the outlets around the state. We have front pages from all the newspapers. So it's a great way to really get your morning started and be very informed in a bite-sized kind of way. So it's really easy to sign up, and it's free. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Click subscribe at the top. Enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
You know, you also have experience in state politics and in Washington. Let's take it to your Washington hat right now and how you see this playing out. You mentioned a little bit with the Senate prepared to vote this week on the coronavirus relief package, and then you've got to have something that's going to at least be different than what did Nancy Pelosi say, that the Senate plan was like a giraffe and a flamingo and they couldn't mate the two? One of the crazy things she said. I mean, are they close enough to getting those two to get it on, or are they just still talking and nothing changes till after November 3rd?
I really don't think that Congress is going to pass another coronavirus bill before the election. I just think there, you know, Speaker Pelosi and House Democrats, and to that extent, Senate Democrats, are bought in on the idea that any deal that they make with Republicans is, there's really no value in it politically. Now, that's a pretty cynical way to look at this, especially in an emergency, in a pandemic. But that's just the reality of it. And you ask about, you know, Washington experience. That's Washington for you. I mean, they look at everything through a political lens. So they've made the calculation that, all right, if we don't make a deal, that we're not going to get blamed for it, at least not by enough people to matter, because, you know, President Trump is going to have any kind of blame from problems dealing with the coronavirus. So I don't see it as likely. And, you know, so what Mitch McConnell is doing, and he's in a tough spot because he's gone through a couple of different proposals now. And, you know, the Democrats, of course, don't like it. But he also has problems in his own caucus with, you know, some more conservative Republicans standing up on principle saying, hey, we think this is too much spending. So honestly, you know, not to be completely cynical about it, but what this probably is, this latest proposal, it gives the Senate Republicans who are in tough races something to vote for and say, hey, I went back to Washington, did my job, and voted for this. And that's honestly probably all it is.
Wow. Okay. So this is just to use a Biden term, this is just a bridge.
I mean, maybe even kind of a fig leaf. Now, look, I think, you know, and knowing Mitch McConnell and his staff, they don't do things. They do good work. They're very detailed. I have no doubt that this is a serious proposal that, if enacted, would do some good. But they're also realistic. They know it's not going to pass the Senate, or even if it did somehow pass the Senate, it would be dead on arrival in the House. But what it does, you know, there are senators out in Arizona, Colorado, North Carolina, and of course Maine, that are really at risk right now, and they would love to be able to say, hey, I voted to give, you know, X million dollars to this and fix this pandemic thing. And that's the real political value in what they're doing.
30 seconds left. Speaking of that and those races come November 4th, or whenever we get all the information in, do Republicans retain control of the Senate, and do they gain or take control of the House?
I don't think the House is even in play. The Senate's going to be really close. I mean, it's really going to come down to Maine and North Carolina. I think Republicans are going to lose Arizona and lose Colorado, so it probably comes down to Maine and North Carolina. Those are really tight races.
There you go. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. As always, a pleasure. We'll talk soon.
All right, Sean, be good.
Coming right back. Grab some calls, and I got a story written by a computer that knew it was writing the story. I'll explain.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Coming up on the show tomorrow, this show, I've got to be specific about it, on Midday Mobile in the noon hour, AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne. Things we're talking about right now, what's done or not going to be done in Washington, in the Senate and the House with any kind of coronavirus relief, what will be passed or not passed between now and November 3rd. We'll get into that and a lot more with the Congressman tomorrow in the noon hour. Plus, Robert E. Kennedy Jr. joins me in the 1 o'clock hour tomorrow on Midday Mobile. All right, segment of the show brought to you by Harry's, and so glad to have the folks from Harry's back on board. I've been shaving with Harry's, I think, 8 years now, 7 or 8 years. And they've now come out with their sharpest blades ever. And unlike some other razor companies, they're not charging you more for the product improvements. Harry's new sharper blades are still as low as $2 each, which that was always the thing that I loved, the shave with Harry's. I told you that. The shave was great. And then the fiscal conservative in me loved the $2 per blade. You can now find Harry's new sharper blades also in big box and drug and grocery stores near you. But if you want to shop online and you want to help support this show, you can get a trial set for just $3 when you use my new code, Sean S, at checkout over at harrys.com. So it's S-E-A-N and then S, I guess for Sullivan, Sean S is the new code, and that's at harrys.com. Here's how it works. If you didn't hear me talking all those years before about Harry's, they own their own vertically integrated here. So they own the German factory that's been honing razor blades for 100 years. They source their steel from Sweden. They own the entire manufacturing process from R&D to the factory floor. That lets them keep the prices at $2 each. And confidently, they stand 100% behind their quality guarantee. They always have, and they continue to do that. Here's how it works, okay? Harry's available wherever you shop. You can get those blades from the big box drug or grocery stores near you. Just head on over to the grooming aisle. And if you like to shop online, it's my favorite way to do it. Harry's has a great offer for listeners of Midday Mobile. New customers can get $5 off a Harry's trial set when you use my code Sean S. So S-E-A-N-S. Use that to get the seal at harrys.com. That includes the 5-blade razor, the weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. But you got to use my code Sean S at checkout and give the Harry's sharper blades a try. And I have, and it's like velvet and butter. They were before too, but these are even sharper. And I tell you what the value of that sharper blade is, that you get like way more days, or depending on how you shave, maybe weeks out of that blade. That's the benefit of that for sure. All right, let's see. From the text line here, there's a... Yeah, so Haywood says here, so $1.9 billion CARES Act money, or we could just send it to parents in school districts not offering traditional school. Yeah, well, and could the governor... That's the problem with this that I think most of us that have been involved in this conversation for the last 6 months know this, but when the CARES Act money came out, and it came to the different states, Alabama getting $1.9 billion, our check there, but you couldn't just spend it on whatever. It had to be specifically in response to coronavirus, either relief efforts or fighting the virus, those kind of things. You couldn't use them to balance out the general fund. I did say back then, I think if you got creative and took those parts of state government that were dealing with this response and funded those through CARES Act money, then that would leave other money available elsewhere in the general fund. But right now, we seem to, I don't know, I have conflicting information here, because number one, we've got the story coming out of Montgomery, and we've talked to several state senators and representatives about this, that the money coming in, because sales tax obviously was down during the shutdown and people not going out, but people bought enough online that, remember, 5 years ago or so when they changed the deal where they get the sales tax revenue from online purchases, that has helped keep the ship balanced on cash flow coming in for the general fund. And I guess to some degree, so the be-all general fund, though, maybe ETF as well. Yeah, in the education trust fund as well. But the problem with that is I hear that story, and then we just got finished talking with Todd Stacey about what happened yesterday. Now, is this a tell to you? I mean, I want the state, okay, I'll say it this way. I would like the state to use the money this way, but is it because they had to? About to run out of money in state unemployment. The word was we had like another 2 weeks. So State Finance Director Kelly Butler yesterday went and talked to top lawmakers and said reallocating money to provide funding for the state's unemployment compensation fund is what they would do. So the state unemployment benefits, okay, here it is. Currently, Alabama's unemployment insurance benefit trust fund could run out by next month. Drained as a record number of people were put out of work by shuttering of businesses due to the coronavirus. Hey, Dalton, can you look up what the state number is? I know we're at 8%. I think we're down to 8% unemployment for the country as a whole. I have not looked at the Alabama number recently. I wonder what we're at. But there's definitely more people that are employed now back on the rolls and working than there was a month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago. But they said they're about to run out of the money. So this move takes this federal CARES Act money and moves it into the state coffers there to be able to pay unemployment, which is dealing with coronavirus. People have been put out of a job through no fault of their own. I get it. I support it. But you're telling me on one hand, and maybe I can get Jeff to talk about this tomorrow and we get somebody on the show, but we've been told that the revenue was okay because of the sales tax stuff. I've been worried about the revenue the whole time into the state coffers. And when you had the beaches shut down and people weren't going down there, you know, although they said they made up for it once things opened back up. But where does that money, you know, is it that we have enough coming in through online, or is it fair for me to say, but you didn't have enough to keep up with the Unemployment Act? So I just, a lot to this. And nothing's going to change. You heard Todd say it. Nothing's going to change. You have bills. Okay, the Senate bill that's coming out is going to be political cover for Republicans running in purple states and places where people say, well, y'all have done nothing, which I think is the real argument you can make against Democrats on this. Y'all have done nothing because you've made it such an impossibly big spend on, I think, their bill is called the HEROES Act, that there is, it's not going to get passed. But in this case, he said the Senate Act will provide cover for Republicans running in those purple states. So they realize, and he said it's a good bill, but it's not going to pass. Democrats won't go through. They can't reconcile the bill with the House bill. Remember Nancy and her giraffe and flamingo mating? I'll never forget that, Nancy. So that's they're not going to get that done. So the Republican bill in the Senate is not going to pass the House. And the House, even if they come, and I know, you know, the discussion, Dalton had a fair discussion this morning with Dan about, hey, the Democrats are coming down a little bit here on their HEROES Act, and maybe if the Republicans will move up and meet them in the middle. That's logic. That's the compromise that has built our republic, even though the spending is so far out of line of what our founders would have expected and the number of things that are the province of government that our founders are rolling around in their graves like a tilt-a-whirl run on 11. But still, nothing's going to get done politically, for political reasons, until November 3rd. So, you know, a pox, you can say a pox on both parties, but one can't do it without the other. And they're all digging in heels because it's all about November 3rd. And now you have today, which could, this, I mean, you heard the audio clip there, I think, at the 30 minutes after the hour. during our newscast, the national newscast from USA Radio News, they had the audio of President Trump. Now, it was, what context was it in or what? I don't, but it doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound good. He's talking about he wanted to downplay coronavirus. But we don't know what context is in. And even if it is in the most inflammatory, does that move the needle? Does that change how people are going to vote November 3rd? I think most people that are watching this, not people that are late to the party, but people that watch this, have shut their ears to anything contrary to the way they're going to vote between in the presidential cycle between now and November. I honest to goodness don't know what could come out that would have people that are Trump supporters all of a sudden turn to vote for Biden. Now, I know the hope is for Democrats that it will disincentivize people coming out to vote for President Trump. But remember, people vote against more than they vote for. And I've said, I'm not a banner man for President Trump on everything. But more than half the time, I agree with what President Trump's doing. But there's times I disagree. But I can tell you right now, when you look at the offering here, if they were trying to disincentivize people, they would have a better chance if they had a better Democrat candidate. But they don't. So I don't think, you know, this is September. This is not even the October surprises that are coming out now. And I imagine this is the beginning of a tsunami of Oppo research and stories and allegations and anonymous sources and all these things that are going to roll out here over the next 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. Well, today's the 7th. Yeah, so 6 weeks or more of this, 7 weeks that you're here in the beginning. But I don't know that this moves the needle. In the past, these kind of things could have, but we're not living in the past now. That's for sure. All right, coming back, talk about some chances for you to come out and make... We talked about this yesterday. When you look at charity events you did every year, and so many have had to cancel, but the needs of those charities are still there. And the charities are doing workarounds here, trying to make it work in the age of coronavirus. And we'll talk about what UCB is doing. My buddy Wayne Dean's going to join us. We'll talk about that. Food and Folly in a virtual or remote fashion. He'll give us details in just a bit. Also, we'll answer a couple more texts and get some calls at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. Heads up, this segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Trey at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Also the sponsor of, imagine this, the 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question, which is, how is remote learning working in your home? You can answer that on the front page of our website. You can also check out Trey at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Make an appointment there or just pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's that simple. You got junk. You need the junk gone. You got a guy who can do it, and they can do it very quickly and efficiently. I love the process, too. They make that appointment time specific. They realize that you have a busy schedule, so you call them. It's not going to be some deal where it's Monday through Friday at some point between 8 in the morning and 6 at night they're showing up. They're going to give you a day. They're going to give you times, and they're going to be there. And they'll quote you a price on the job. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done right then, and that junk is gone. Whether it's a storage unit or a house you're getting ready to sell, or maybe you're looking at getting that trampoline and swing set out of the backyard because your youngest child's now in graduate school. Listen, whatever it is, it's 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, we're talking about this yesterday, and this fits in with a discussion we had about charity events and things that have been planned, things we all expect. You know, you've got those in life that you go, oh yeah, it's this time of year, we go to this event to benefit this charity. You know, you get the ticket, and it's the couple's ticket, and it's this much, and you get the food and the drink, and then you get the silent auction and the live auction. We know this, right? And it's something you do, whether you do it through your business or do it personally, you do it to benefit charities right here in our area. Well, times have changed. A lot of things have changed out there when it comes to business and it comes to schools, like we talked about, and it comes to the world of charities as well. And it's good to hear that there's some workarounds and ways to help out, and they continue to be fun as well, and folly as well. My buddy Wayne Dean joining us from UCP. Mm-hmm. And first of all, let me say this. How long without a haircut?
Since all this mess started.
Okay, because this is the longest I, you and I have known each other for a good bit of time here, and this is the longest I've ever seen your hair.
Well, you grew a beard.
Yeah, you know, I did that.
After Hurricane Frederick, I grew a beard. It was down below my neck.
Really?
So I said, well, I'm not going to do that again.
So just letting the hair grow.
Let my hair grow. I'll get it styled at some point.
Styled. Okay, I like it. I like it. I just couldn't sit here and not comment. This is the longest I've seen.
Or I may just let it grow a while till I can do something with it.
Okay. So now on to the real conversation, but I had to have a hair conversation with you.
Right.
So food and folly.
Like you were commenting, it's a different world temporarily, and we had to change. We couldn't have our traditional food and folly in, you know, the auditorium, Fort Whiting, with all the people having a great time and going around and sampling food.
Right.
So we put our heads together at the office and came up with two or three ideas and finally settled on what we're calling food and folly at home.
Okay, so explain to me how this works.
Okay, originally we talked about having, you know, food and folly have up to 20 restaurants, caterers, and we said, well, we'll have three or four or five, but that became logistically not impossible, but not doable easily. So we chose one caterer, and they are Russo's, Georgia Russo's.
Okay.
And she is preparing three different entrees, and people can call in, everything's going to be online, and order one of three entrees. Comes with two sides, roll, butter, dessert, and either a 375 milliliter of wine, red or white, or a beer.
Okay.
And we're also, because of the nature of when they pick it up, which we'll get to, having a child's meal for the kids that want to order and help the charity, too. It's chicken fingers. Who does not like chicken fingers?
I don't. If they don't, I don't trust them. I don't trust them if they don't like fingers.
And then are you waiting for this? Mac and cheese.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Homage to our mac and cheese that we had to cancel.
Yes.
And the children will get, obviously, instead of wine or beer, will get a soft drink, and a cookie comes with that.
All right. So we can plan this out for dinner for the family that night.
Right.
For
family. Take it home, eat it in the porch, eat it in the kitchen.
Okay.
Backyard.
So
parking lot.
You mentioned pickup. How are we going to do this?
I'll let Laura and Lucky handle that part.
All right. Well, yeah, and welcome back.
Yeah, thanks. It's good to be back. We're going to have pickup at the main office. It is UCP's. It's 3058 Dauphin Square Connector, and it's going to go from 4 to 6.
Okay.
What you'll do is you'll be able to go online on our website at ucpmobile.org. You'll be able to customize your order. So if you want the chicken dish and somebody else that is with you wants the beef, then you can pick that up at the same time, give your name. It'll be a very fast, streamlined process where you
kind of like a curbside thing? Or?
Yeah, it's curbside. We'll have a list with all the names and everything and what you've ordered and whether you prefer beer or wine. And then we're going to try to set the mood just a little bit. We'll have some music playing. We'll have some decorations. Mm-hmm. We will still have a little bit of that food and folly stuff. And if you order 10 or more meals, you can actually get a delivery for a small fee. So say you are a business and everybody in your business wants to buy a meal. Well, you can get with us by calling us at our number 251-479-4900. Give us a call and we can coordinate that delivery for you in that time frame.
That sounds like us here. Yeah,
yeah.
10 or more and
sure. You
do that.
And everything is evolving because it's new. We've never done this before.
Yeah, you've never had to.
No, I've never had to.
None of us have. Is this my first pandemic? Is your first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not
first
that
pandemic,
old.
Yeah.
Yeah, my first pandemic. So.
Yeah, if you want to call it that, yeah. But it's been, it's been an adaptation, and that's good.
What does it mean? Take a second here. We'll come back to talking about the event, but what is, through y'all's eyes, what has this been like? Because you have two things. You're trying to get your message out and fundraise, but you're having to serve the community at the same time that's themselves dealing with the same issues that are affecting the charity that's serving them.
It's changed what we do. I mean, you know, Lauren and I, we can kind of work from home, which we have for, three, 4 months?
Yeah, we're back in the office now, but we have been working
from home. the people that actually go out in the homes, you know, they've been plugging away.
Wait, how many families y'all serve?
700 families each month, and that is, even though we haven't been able to necessarily meet up in person, we're still doing a lot of our events. So, for example, in a program like Early Intervention, where we have the kiddos that are receiving therapy, we're doing a lot of that through Zoom, through conference call with the parents.
Because they can't come to the facility, right?
Because it's most of the time in the home of the individual, of the child. And so being unable to get into the physical home, well, we've had to work around, UCP in general has had to work around all of that as well. We have a preschool. The preschool is also dealing with the same thing everyone else in Mobile County and in nationwide and worldwide, virtual classes as well for those.
I hate
students.
Not hearing, because I would always hear the joy in Wayne's voice talking about hearing those children down the hall from his office.
Oh, I can still hear them even though they're not there. So. But they'll be back. And like Lauren said, you know, these people that we serve, just because it's pandemic, they don't stop needing service.
They probably need service more.
Yes.
At the same time that y'all are trying to figure out how to get folks to be donating and help out.
Because now the whole family is kind of on edge. What's going to happen next?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to be able to go outside, stay inside?
All right. So, the clearinghouse for all the information. They want to find out more about Food and Folly at Home or what y'all do every day. How do they get in touch with you?
UCP UCPmobile.org.
That's how you get us. And then, like I said, our main office number, that's 251-479-4900. Or, you know, give that number a call, and then you can get in touch with Wayne or I, and we'd be happy to talk to you about either thing.
Yeah,
and
I'm so used to typing the website, it comes up on autocorrect and fixes that.
If we can get that for our brains to where it fills in and gives us the
I'm working on it.
Okay, good. I'm gonna invest in that company. That's coming up October 15th. We'll put this information up on Facebook as well. Y'all, thanks for coming in. Thanks for what you're doing every day.
Thanks for you having us.
All right. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. We'll talk tomorrow right here on FM Talk 106.5.